And speaking of responses on Life Matters on ABC Radio National, time for this week's feedback. Executive producer Jackie May joins me. Hello, Jack.
Hello. And another overwhelming topic to start with, which was the Friday discussion on vegetarianism. Mm. Now, Beryl wrote to us, "I'm not a vegetarian, but I've been trying to eat more vegetables and less meat for the last year or so. This is largely a health measure, but it's also because of the rising cost of meat and because, while not against eating meat per se, I am concerned about the way in which we treat farmed animals. The interesting thing, and something I wouldn't have believed 10 to 20 years ago, is that the less meat I eat, the less I seem to enjoy eating it. I'm also enjoying learning new ways to cook and using a whole new variety of recipes, a real challenge after a lifetime of standard meat fare."
And Don's been in touch too. He says, "In Australia, there seems to be a pervasive belief that only vegetarians eat vegetarian food. If you're an omnivore, you have to have animal proteins with every meal. But why not be a part-time vegetarian? Technically, I'm still an omnivore, but the vast majority of what I eat is plant-based. I have small amounts of organic dairy products and organic chicken and egg products. I also have some seafood, providing it's sustainably produced. This is partly a compromise with what my partner likes. It doesn't have to be an ism." And we also got quite a lot of calls.
"Hi, my name's Jenny. I actually teach vegan cooking as part of a food choices and diet and climate change program. Food choices are a huge part of climate change. The UN just released a report 2 weeks ago saying that the world would have to shift towards a more vegan diet if we were to survive, which is part of why I do this. I don't actually necessarily preach on a personal level, but I'm trying to give people the facts about why it is such an important thing to consider, and also to make it easier for people to make inclusions of plant-based foods in their diet. I help teach them how to do that."
"Hi, my name is Pam and I'm calling from Adelaide. I grew up in India, so, you know, a lot of people around me were vegetarians. There was never an issue of meat eating, but my husband's also become a vegetarian. He's not Indian, but what has been challenging is when you're traveling, especially in Europe, I think we found it very difficult, whereas in Australia and the big cities, it's been wonderful. You know, there's a lot more very good vegetarian dishes available. We've got two kids and we made a decision that they could eat whatever they wanted. So from when they were in childcare, they started eating meat, and it's kind of backfired on us because they have quite a taste for meat, and they prefer the meat foods than the vegetarian food. So we end up making two different meals every day. Okay, thanks, bye."
"Hello, I've eaten vegetarian for 42 years for health reasons. I joined the Natural Health Society because I was sick and tired of being tired and sick all the time, and now I'm actually the health director of the Natural Health Society, which is not for profit. And when I was shown the differences between carnivores and vegetarians, that carnivores have high speed for catching and prey and claws and fangs for holding and killing prey. They have jaws that move only up and down. They don't sweat through the skin. They can't digest starches. Their hydrochloric acid in their stomachs can digest bones. They lap water like a cat. All of those qualities we don't have. So that's why I've eaten vegetarian for 42 years. And when I had my heart checked in 2005, he said, 'You'll never have a heart attack.' So it's certainly working for me. Bye-bye."
"Hi, I was one of the first organic farmers in Australia in the 1970s, and I've always eaten a broad diet of fruit and vegetables, mainly in the raw state, and organic. At 64 years of age, which I am now, I had a diagnosis a few years ago, severe osteoporosis, which is being turned around by going bushwalking with weights and understanding why the calcium wasn't in the diet. But rosemary is a wonderful advocate, but there are other things besides B12, and they come up all the time with vegetarians: calcium deficiency, zinc, B12. One thing that was really important was the full range of amino acids are really hard to find in a vegetarian diet."
Lots more debate on that and many other points on the Story website, where you can continue to leave your comments.
No, please do. Now, yesterday's story on digital memory, how it isn't really possible to forget anything anymore. We got some Facebook comments from Mondo, who says, "The trouble is we have so much stuff, digital and otherwise. We don't go on holidays and take a few rolls of film anymore. We take hundreds of photos. We send emails, but alas, I think most of it will be forgotten. It's perhaps related to the fleeting nature of life these days. But from a non-digital perspective, last month my mum presented me with a scrapbook of bits and pieces from my life. Photos, bits of material from my childhood clothes and curtains, little knickknacks, including an autograph from the director of the movie Eureka Stockade, in which my dad appeared. It was amazing. She kept some of this stuff since the early 50s.
That would have been really powerful. Jen has been in touch after the story we did the other day about the latest research into lesbian parenting. There's a very long-running study in the United States looking at the kids, essentially. And Jen says, I've raised my two biological children with my lesbian partner for the past 12 years. Our kids are now 15 and 17 and are stable, healthy, articulate and gentle young adults. They've never had a real experience of being bullied or teased about their family and have been well armed with humour on the rare occasion that it might be mentioned by one of their peers. Our son is a very loving and respectful young man and has a great appreciation for women. Both kids have proudly declared their heterosexuality and appear to have a very healthy sense of what constitutes an appropriate and respectful relationship with the opposite sex. They've been on a wonderful ride during their formative years, meeting many different people of all persuasions and developing a beautiful and individual perspective on love and relationships. They demonstrate that love and respect is at the heart of all their interactions with other people. I shall be very interested to follow this study further and read the young people's thoughts on how they were raised and the positive and negative elements they might discuss.
Jim also got in touch. Only the most blinkered traditionalists would argue that children can't mature properly without a father. Kids of my generation born in World War II might not have even seen their dads for the first 5 or 6 years of life, or maybe not at all. It's not to rubbish fathering, just to point out that it's the quality of parenting and love that counts, not just the number of X chromosomes you possess.
Now, the benefits of singing in a community choir, you might remember we talked about that the other day. We got this call.
G'day, my name's Jim from Morphettville, South Australia. I'm really intrigued and actually inspired by that lady, Tanya, who started a choir group in Melbourne, in Victoria. And I wish she'd do it in Adelaide, because I've actually played in workshops in Adelaide tapes, introducing migrants to Australian slang and Australian folk songs and even bush dances. And I think it's fantastic, and I get so much reaction from the immigrants that come here to live, and I just wish some Australians would get the same sort of reactions. And I love your show, Richard, and thanks very much. Cheers.
Now, before I go, Brenda's got in touch about the Livewire interview with Jess, and she says, regarding social media and people who are ill or disabled, my adult daughter has severe and multiple disabilities. She has no expressive language and is illiterate, but she's a huge fan of Facebook and has many Facebook friends. She enjoys seeing the photos of people she rarely has a chance to catch up with, is able to access Facebook through her computerised communication device. It's opening up a whole new world for Rebecca and her disabled friends.
That's a great one to finish on. Thanks, Jack. And remember, get in touch via the website, that's the easy way, abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. And coming up tomorrow on Life Matters, a personal story of a woman trafficked for sex as a child in Cambodia. She escaped. She now helps other people. It's an amazing yarn. I hope you'll join me for it. The news is coming up now.